and nor could there be. You know, most Ukrainians actually speak Russian as well, and many of them as their native language. This is a complex language problem. But in the meantime, what the rebels are doing are turning it into an ethnic problem, which it shouldn't be. And the experience of the Soviet Union proved that people can live together. Now, this has gone on. The military are there. As for NATO, yes, NATO promised and it broke its promise and moved troops there. But I have to say that Moscow has given the other countries in the area, from Latvia through to Poland and Bulgaria, ample reason to be worried about them. So you're having a case where your actions provoke a reaction, and then you use that reaction to justify what you're doing. I mean, really, all sides should be taking a step back here and saying, this is crazy. We do not want an action and replay of World War I and World War II on the steps of Eurasia again. And, you know, that's, if anything, in fact, I think that Washington has been rather backward on this one. They're not as bellicose as they would have been 20 years ago, and they have been very low-key in their approach. They've been doing the minimum necessary to attend to public feeling who are watching what's happening in Ukraine. There is no appetite in the West for a war on behalf of Ukraine, and which is why the Ukrainian government probably feels it's being hung out to dry at the moment.
But to be fair, Mr. Williams, wasn't it NATO that took the first step to expand closer to Russia?
Yes, it did, and it shouldn't have done. But then some of the steps that were being taken by Moscow justified it to some extent. The Poles and the others and the Baltics, when they got the saber rattling from Russia, they ran scared because they know they don't stand a chance. Mr. Nekrasov might downplay the size of the Russian military budget, and the American military budget is gross, overloaded, it's obese, and it's an obscenity for Americans and everybody else. But in terms of effectiveness, who has got troops in other countries? There are no American troops or NATO troops inside the territory of Russia at the moment. There is every evidence that there are Russian troops on the territory of Ukraine. That's even if you don't include the Crimea, which under international law is still part of Ukraine. Now, I happen to think that the Crimeans have the right to self-determination, and it should have been allowed. But one of the key principles of the United Nations, on which the whole second post-war settlement is based, is the inadmissibility of the acquisition of territory by force. And that's what happened in Ukraine. That's what made it wrong. Not that the Crimeans may or may not have wanted to become part of Russia, were not whether they were allowed to have a proper referendum or not under international supervision, that it was effectively taken over by Russian military. That is against the United Nations Charter, and it sends a signal. And we know what happened in Russia when the Chechens tried to claim self-determination. Their country was pulverized inside Russia by Moscow. If you look at the reaction of Moscow to the Chechens' independence bid, then what the Ukrainians are doing is a model of moderation. Even if there's no justification for using shell fire against civilian targets, whichever side of the civil war you're on.
Very well. Let me put that to Mr. Nekrasov. Mr. Nekrasov, I wanted to get your reaction to some of what Mr. Williams there said, and I wanted to add this on, if I may. Victoria Nuland, who is no fan of Russia, and she's made that quite clear, and other Western politicians have spoken about quote-unquote Russian propaganda when it comes to the situation in Ukraine. Why is it, do you believe, that the West wants to control the narrative when it comes to how we discuss Ukraine?
Well, first of all, I don't, of course, agree with most of the things that have been said by the American guest, and especially when he started talking about Chechnya. I was at the time a security advisor on Chechnya to the Russian government, and I can tell you I have more facts than probably most people. And Chechnya, which Western experts forget, is part of Russia. It is not a different country. Secondly, the problem with Chechnya, I'll be very brief on that one, was that it was run by a gangster type of regime that was suppressing its own people. That was covered in the media in the West. And I'm quite surprised that people come back to Chechnya, which has nothing to do with international law. It was part of Russia, an internal part, domestic part of Russia, which went berserk with a regime there that absolutely lost all sense of proportion. But that is different from the situation in Ukraine. Now, first point is this. America has now no business in Ukraine or Europe. America needs to stop attacking territories thousands of miles away or leading proxy wars like it is leading a proxy war against Russia and Ukraine, trying to pretend that it's all concerned about democracy and independence.
Let me put some of those points to Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams, I wanted to bring you in and ask you at this time about what Mr. Nekrasov just said at the end, about the American track record at this time. When we do speak about the situation in Ukraine, certainly I would imagine even you can understand that there is a lot of suspicion about American intentions.
It's not a case of even me, especially me. I was a vociferous opponent of the wars in Iraq. I was a vociferous opponent of what the US did in Vietnam. I have been a vociferous opponent of their interventions in Latin America. It is not often that the US since World War II has been on the right side or the side of the angels in its military interventions. There is no argument there. But that doesn't automatically mean that because America is on one side, that side is wrong. I happen to think they had very good points when they were trying to defend the Muslims in Kosovo and in Bosnia against attacks. So I don't even buy the fact that they're totally Islamophobic on these issues. However, that notwithstanding, there are no American troops fighting in Russia at the moment. There are Russian troops fighting in Ukraine. So this pot calling the kettle black does not work. What Moscow is doing in Ukraine is bad for Ukraine, it's bad for Russia, it's bad for the region, and it's bad for the world. Crimea was every bit as much a part, in fact, even more so of Ukraine, as Chechnya was of Russia. And the point is, you can't go around annexing other people's territory and do so with impunity because you are breaking the very fabric of international law. That's what Saddam Hussein did when he invaded Iran. He tried to seize territory that wasn't his, whether he had a claim or not, whether it could have gone to the international court for adjudication, whether it could have been negotiated. He tried to seize territory that was not his. And that is when Iran fought back and we had the very first Gulf War. These things have to be remembered. There are consequences for deeds. And you cannot preach principles in one case and then renege on them on the other. And I will make the same accusation against the United States. They can't preach democracy in one place and then refuse it to say the Palestinians in the West Bank. So, you know, that they really do have to make up their mind. If you have the principles stand on their own and they apply to the cases, not the other way around. You don't take the cases and shape your principles for them. And that's what I'll accuse Moscow of doing and Washington. But in this particular case, it's Moscow more than Washington, which is bending principles to accommodate its own desired reality.
Okay, Mr. Nekrasov, we just have about under 2 minutes left. I want to get your final comments. We're seeing, of course, sanctions being ratcheted up by the EU, and the US has warned that it will put up more sanctions as well. Where do you think the situation is headed as a whole between Russia and the West, as well as what will happen in Ukraine itself?
Well, first of all, I'd like to remind everybody that there was no talk about introducing sanctions against America or Britain for invading Iraq on false pretenses and murdering about 1 million people. You know, there's a very strange situation where the Western countries can do whatever they want, but when they are not pleased with something, they use the sanctions. Now, I think these sanctions are illegal. I think the sanctions are being pushed through by America. I think they damage Europe. I think America is trying to drive a wedge between Russia and Europe. America is in a difficult economic situation with all these rosy figures they're trying to throw at us. Of course, it's a different matter altogether in real life. I think America is a very dangerous country at the moment. I think a lot of European countries are now realizing that they have been dragged into this conflict. Germany is changing its attitude. Greece, I hope, will put pressure and maybe leave the EU. All of this crisis, which is in Europe, is caused in many effects by America and its economic policy and the printing, mad printing of money. And I think that there will be a revaluation of the position of European states. Even in Britain, people are saying now, why are we doing this? Why are we doing those sanctions? They're hurting us as well. Germany have already said, no way, we are not going to extend them. We are thinking of actually stopping them. So it's a completely different situation. America is now is being treated in a different way by many, many people. And what has happened in Ukraine has changed the situation in the world. I can tell you, America will never be trusted again in Russia or Eastern Europe. This is the end, the watershed.
Very well. We'll have to leave it there for now. But of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to this program. That was the former Kremlin and government advisor, Mr. Alexander Nekrasov, who had been speaking to us live from London. And we were also joined by the senior analyst at Foreign Policy and Focus, Mr. Ian Williams, who had been speaking to us live from New York. And of course, viewers, we do appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.